What's up, everybody? We made it towards the finish line finale of college football. Sad, bittersweet, but damn, do we have a good slate of games post-Thanksgiving here on Friday, as well as Saturday. On this show, I'm going to cover the Friday slate for college football on DraftKings. We have a very sweet 10-gamer coming off of our nice turkey feast. For those of you that actually partake in turkey, I know there's some haters out there. Hopefully, you know, you guys all have a great time with family and thankful for college football most of all. So before we get started and dive into this slate, please hit that thumbs up. Please subscribe if you haven't already. Helps our channel a ton with the old YouTube algo, podcast algo. Allows us to spend more time, obviously, on content that's free for you guys. And hopefully you've had a good year so far. So let's cap this off with a bang and win some money this weekend. So starting with Friday slate of games, like I mentioned, DraftKings has a sweet 10-game slate here on Friday afternoon. We start off, Miami goes to Boston College. The Hurricanes are a 9.5-point favorite, 48 total in that game. TCU goes to Oklahoma, where Oklahoma is a 9.5 home point or home favorite, 63 total in that one. Iowa goes to Nebraska with the monster, 25.5-point total on that game. 2.5-point favorites to the home Cornhuskers. Memphis and Temple, where Memphis is a 13-point road favorite, 64 total in that game. Toledo and Central Michigan with a little action, 10.5-point favorite for Toledo, 54 total in that one. Ohio and Akron, 14-point favorite for the road Ohio Bobcats, 41 total in that game. UTSA, 52 total in that game, but Tulane is a 3.5-point favorite at home. We've got Utah State as a 6-point favorite on the road against New Mexico, 16.5 total there. Mizzou in Arkansas, where Mizzou is looking to cap off a fantastic season, 8.5-point road favorites, 55 total. We'll find out if Arkansas is watching any Christmas movies at halftime of this one. And then Air Force goes to Boise, where the Boise State's a 7-point home favorite, 46.5 total. All right, let's rock and roll. So I think one of the things that jumps out to me on this slate, a lot of it is going to depend on Dylan Gabriel's health, right? He is the top quarterback in terms of price on the slate, probably rightfully so. Consistently has been, you know, I would say the best quarterback through and through all season that we have listed here. Multiple games over 30 points. He's got multiple games over 40 points. 2 weeks ago, we saw a 62.9 point output from him, but he got hurt last game. They mentioned on Monday that he is questionable, but trending towards playing. Yeah, I think this is a very interesting spot. I think it's something, if you're playing multiple lineups, you're probably going to want to take some shots on Gabriel because he has the ability to obviously pop off and break the slate. But man, it is very nerve-wracking. Oklahoma is obviously not in consideration anymore for the, I don't think, the Big 12 championship game, let alone a major bowl game. So does Dylan Gabriel push through an injury? Does he re-aggravate the injury and kind of come back out? It's definitely a dice roll here. I think there's some really good spots on the slate. But yeah, I mean, 9,300, he is going to be kind of the big decision, I think, on here and what we decide to do in terms of player pool. Going down a little bit, I think Seth Hennigan is going to be my favorite quarterback on the slate. He's just been fantastic lately. 30 points, 23, almost 24 points in 43 the last three games. He now gets a matchup versus Temple, who has absolutely gotten gashed in the passing game all season long. I know it's a road game for Memphis, but I really like the spot for him. I think that he's got very clear stacking options. I think you've seen Blake Watson not quite as relied on two of the last three games as he has been most of the season. 10 carries last game in a really close SMU game. I don't really know what to make of Memphis. If they decide to go the running game, let me put it this way. I think you want definitely a piece of this offense, right? So whether that be Seth Hennigan in the passing attack, if you're going to fade Hennigan, I think Blake Watson's a very good play. You could go all three and kind of overstack the situation. But, you know, we've seen where Blake Watson at 7,300. I know we're not on the running backs, but in close matchups, when you know, he sometimes doesn't get you there, right? 16 points, 13 points. On the other hand, the other two of the last four games, he's gone for 37 and 49. So, man, tough decision there. I like the passing attack here, in my opinion. But I think I'm going to have both sides of this game, or both sides of this offense, both the passing and the rushing. If you could find a way to possibly overstack this one, that could be the ticket that pays off for you. So I think Daquan Finn for Toledo moving on is another guy that's interesting. You know, he's been really solid all year. We get kind of a matchup. You know, I think we could see definitely 25 to 30 points out of Finn here. He's super efficient, you know, throws the ball about 30 times a game, which is, you know, not crazy. But he, again, hyper efficient, 2-3 scores for the passing game. He does have rushing upside as well. Usually the games where we see him really pop off and hit value isn't when he's able to pop one in on the ground. So I think Finn is definitely a good play here versus CMU. Moving down, I think Brady Cook, 8,100, is a fantastic play. He's just been lights out all year, man. 27, 25. 17 versus Georgia. Can't really blame the guy. And then back to 24 the week before that. So you know you're going to get about 25 plus points out of him there from the quarterback position for Mizzou. I skipped over Michael Pratt. I think he's a great quarterback. I just don't know necessarily if this one shoots out. I think both defenses are pretty good. Tulsa is pretty solid. I think UTSA is okay. But I just don't know if this game quite gets there. I could be totally wrong on that. I think a lot of people are going to see Frank Harris's outburst last week and say, oh, my God, like they smacked USF, 63 DraftKings points. We got to go there. But besides that, he's been fairly pedestrian most of the year. Again, he's had a few games where he's kind of lit it up. I don't know. Not necessarily a situation that I'm just going to be attacking. I think you have a lot more consistency out of Cook, Finn probably, Hennigan for sure. So if I'm paying up above 8K, I think it's going to be Cook, Finn, and Hennigan for me, with probably some splashes of Gabriel, depending on if we get news on that one on Friday morning. Moving down a little bit in terms of player pool, who I like, you know, I do have some interest in Tyler Van Dyke. I mentioned it last week, you know, he kind of got reinserted back as the starting quarterback for Miami. I knew that this was kind of going to be his opportunity to let it fly, right? He's got nothing to lose at this point. Had a really rough season. I think if he decides to come back, I would not be shocked to see Tyler Van Dyke transfer from Miami to another situation. He almost did it last year. Season obviously has not gone his way, but beyond the point, I think it's just him going to go out there and kind of let it fly. He's going to get loose. I think this matchup is pretty solid against Boston College. My only concern is I haven't really dove too much into it, but the weather. They're obviously up there in the Northeast. We're that later time of the season. I want to make sure the weather is going to be solid before I play Van Dyke and this Miami team. But if we're going to get fine weather, you know, no rain, no wind, no snow, anything like that, I think I'll have some interest in Van Dyke and kind of his pass catching options, which we'll talk about. Going down, if we're going to pay down a little bit, two guys I have some interest in, EJ Warner, the other side of that Temple matchup. Once again, I expect Seth Hennigan in this Memphis offense to score. I think EJ Warner has been pretty solid. I think if you look at it from a point per dollar, you know, output, you know, he's averaging about 22 points a game on the DraftKings site. Last 2 weeks, 21, 21. And then we've seen against Navy, UTSA, he's gone for 35 and 40 points. So he does have the upside here. And this is, again, a matchup that I expect them to have it to be trailing and throwing in this. So I kind of have some interest in EJ Warner here. If you want a full game stack that, I definitely don't hate that at all. And then I think the other guy that I have some interest in, just simply from a price standpoint, is Castellanos from Boston College. He has not had a good last 2 weeks versus Virginia Tech and Pitt, but we have seen him against Syracuse and Georgia Tech, Army, yeah, whatever. But Louisville, Florida State earlier this year, he can get loose, man, and he can run it as well. You know, we see rushing attempts, 17, 22, 15, 11. So the guy does run the ball. You know, if he can get in the end zone on the ground and throw for about, you know, 180 to 200 and pop another one or two in the end zone there. Again, this is a matchup. I expect them to be trailing Miami. And you don't beat Miami necessarily running the ground or running the ball, you know, between the tackles. So I think Castellanos has some upside here at 6K. That's kind of my quarterback player pool for Friday. Moving to running backs, you know, I think Ashton Jeancey has to be considered for Boise. I know he's coming back from an injury last week. Didn't quite see the full share, but if he came out of that game without an injury, look, man, I know Air Force has a good defense, but this guy, when he was humming, was like the best running back outside of Ollie Gordon in the country in terms of fantasy output. 7,500, I think, is pretty reasonable for him. Right there above Watson, right there below Penny Boone for Toledo. Yeah, I think this is a pretty good spot for Jeancey. You know, again, tougher matchup. He should be fairly contrarian, especially with Helani back. But I think you can take some shots in hopes that he's the one that gets the mix. But who knows? We'll see if both guys are active. We'll kind of see what's going on. But if I'm paying up, I think Jeancey, I think Blake Watson and Boone are all definitely in play. Watson on paper, let's just be honest, has the best matchup. But again, I told you, you know, he does have some games where he's very much kind of taken the backseat to the passing offense. That's what I'm kind of hoping for on this slate. But again, I talked about it. If you're not going to play Hennigan, I think you can very much play Watson and hope that game goes in that direction, because you could be right and that could put you on, you know, potentially a team that's going to take down a tournament here on this slate. But I think overall, in terms of the safest player, is Cody Schrader from Mizzou. The guy has just been absolutely fireworks all season. 25 points, almost 26, 49, 25, 34 in his last four games. Yeah, the dude's just been phenomenal, man. I expect them to absolutely smack Arkansas here, but it is going to be a good game. Again, it's rivalry week. We don't really know how some of these teams are going to play. Arkansas could, you know, say to themselves, this, we knock off Mizzou and kind of salvage our season. Coach is announced coming back next year. I expect them to play pretty hard here. Arkansas is at home as well. So, yeah, I think Cody Schrader is in for a good four-quarter workload here, and I think he's probably the safest play if you're paying up, in my opinion. Going down a little bit, some guys that I have some other interest in, Amani Bailey for TCU. We've seen Oklahoma get absolutely shredded on the ground all season. We know he's got 26, 27 point upside. Things break his way. You know, I think he's in a really good spot. I think for Central Michigan, let me just check something real quick, guys. Sorry. You know, Marion Lukes, I think, is going to be consistently be the bell cow back we've seen the last couple weeks. I think he's in play there at right in that 7K mark. I know I kind of skipped over him, but man, all these guys up here are, you know, they're good plays, right? Like, there's nothing bad to necessarily say. For me, I think if I'm going to go this direction, Lukes and Bailey are definitely interesting. But again, I'm leaning towards Schrader is probably my favorite play if I'm paying up. Fletcher from Miami has kind of morphed into the bell cow back for these guys. If you don't see the Van Dyke play playing out, like I just mentioned, I think he's a guy that's definitely worth a look. He had 126 and two touchdowns versus Louisville last week. Much tougher matchup than he's going to see here versus Boston College. Definitely in a good spot at 6,700. I think Bangura is okay for Ohio at 6,500 if you want to go there. I think Ja'Cory Krosky-Merritt here for New Mexico is probably my next favorite play at 6K. We've seen the workload there, 21 carries twice in the last 3 weeks. He's kind of, he punched in 35 DraftKings points last week versus Fresno. sorry. He gets a good matchup here versus Utah State. Jeez Louise. 6K. New Mexico's at home. You know, you got to imagine they're going to lean on the running game here and continue this with Krosky-Merritt. Yeah, I think he's one of my favorite plays on the slate here. Ja'Cory Krosky-Merritt for New Mexico. So, again, most of my builds right now that I've started off with is with Schrader and Ja'Cory. But, you know, I think, again, some of these other guys you can keep in mind. Bangura, Fletcher, Bailey. And if you really want to get up and get contrarian, Blake Watson, Jeancey, I think are definitely matchup proof as well. Mekhi Hughes for Tulane. I mentioned that I'm not super interested in Pratt. I do have some interest in Hughes. He's kind of been the bell cow back for Tulane all year. You know, he consistently is about 20 carries a game, which is awesome. We'd love to see that workload. UT San Antonio, let's see, in terms of defense, you know, nothing to write home about. So I think he's got a good matchup here And I think Tulane kind of leans on their defense, leans on the running game. Hughes should be fairly popular is my guess at 5,900, but he's in a good spot. And then I think the other guy that's kind of started to separate himself, I didn't play him last week and was absolutely kicking myself, was Gavin Sawchuk for Oklahoma. 14 carries, 22 carries, and 13. He's gone over 100 yards the last three games. He's got touchdowns in four of his last five games. I think he's in a pretty good role here versus TCU, especially if you think Dylan Gabriel is banged up. Maybe they lean on the running game a little bit more. I think Sawchuk is a damn strong play here at 5,500. So could very much be a three running back slate, in my opinion. So he could be kind of the guy that rounds it out in that super flex role or in that flex position. Keep an eye on the status of Gabriel, but I think Sawchuk's a pretty good play. On this slate, I don't really have anybody below that I love. You know, you could throw random shots in there at some guys, but for me, I'm just not going to go there. I don't think you really need to. You know, if you want to take some shots, like I have no interest in the Iowa-Nebraska game for very obvious reasons. If you look at that total, you know, and then you've got some action guys that you can mix in and stuff, but that's going to be kind of my core plays. I'm not going to really be going below anybody at 5,500 with Sawchuk. Receivers. I think it all starts obviously with the highest priced guy, and that is Luther Burden. Best receiver on the slate, no doubt about it. If you think Mizzou absolutely slams these guys or it's a close game, find a way to get him in. It's kind of the reason why I'm not super hot on some of those like really high priced running backs, because I'd love to find a way to get Burden into my lineups. And if you're going to be playing at least one high priced quarterback, makes it a little bit difficult to get Burden in a high-end running back unless you pay down at one of those quarterback spots like EJ Warner, Castellanos. So kind of round in the background, yes, I like Luther Burden. You've got Jerron Newton for Toledo, definitely in play at 7,100. I don't think his volume is quite as solid as some of these other guys. 6-7 catches a game, but I think you need, you know, multiple touchdowns with six catches unless he busts some really long ones. I think Terrell Vaughn for Utah State is always in play. One of the better receivers for sure on the slate. If you're looking at it real quick, I think his counterpart is probably my favorite for Utah State. You're going to save $400, but Jalen Royals is definitely there as well. I think Xavier Restrepo, I told you guys last week with Van Dyke coming back, that is his go-to guy and his favorite target. I don't see any reason that that's going to change this week. Restrepo always finds a way to get open. Again, I know Boston College has a decent passing defense here, but Restrepo just finds a way to get open, man. He saw 10 targets last week, 193 yards and a touchdown. I don't know if we quite get that. It's not exactly quite what I predicted, but definitely has major upside. And again, if you're going to go that Miami passing attack, it's probably the right target to go to. I think Cephas is in a good spot here for UTSA. Blanksemy for Memphis, 6,200 is my favorite guy. You could look at Rock Taylor, but I think both of them are okay. Chris Brazell for Tulane. The receivers for Tulane are kind of banged up, so we're not quite sure who's going to play. It looks like Lawrence Keyes is ruled out with Jackson. They're hopeful he'll play, but if Jackson misses, I think Brazell becomes a really good play. I think he's still a solid play right now. Being 5,900, he's going to be pretty much the number one receiver there, depending on Jackson's health. Wiggles for Ohio, always in play there at 5,800. Same with Cross kind of in that area as well. Theo Weiss, if you can't quite get up to Burden, is kind of the pivot off of him at 5,600. I think Nick Anderson for Oklahoma at 5,300. We've seen his price kind of come back down. I just don't really have any interest ever playing Drake Stoops. You know, every once in a while he pops off, but overall he's just too inconsistent for me. I think Nick Anderson is much more consistent in terms of either getting into the end zone or big play. You know, he's gone over 100 yards almost three of the last five games. Double-digit scoring four of the last five. Nick Anderson at 5,300 is clearly who I'd rather play for Oklahoma. Then you go to McAllister for Boise at 5K. Just way too cheap, man. I don't know who did this pricing, but Eric McAllister has been dominant all year. He is the clear number one alpha for Boise State. Again, I know Air Force has a pretty good defense, but I think McAllister, if you're going to go this direction or you're looking for kind of a mid-price guy, definitely in play for Boise. And I think the two pay-down guys for me are going to kind of come into this Temple stack that I like, and this is why, is you've got David Martin Robinson and Jordan Smith. Both of these guys are really cheap. I'm pulling it up right now. If you look at it, Martin Robinson's 4,500. You've got Jordan Smith down here at 3,800. I think you could also look at Dante Wright. All these guys, 4K, 4,500, 3,800. You can't really go wrong with either of them. It's just a cheap way. Like, again, if you want to get some of these major guys into your lineups, hence, you want to get one, you know, Coy Schrader, Luther Burden, any of those guys, Blake Watson, this is the way to go, in my opinion. So I'm going to be playing some Temple for sure. Dante, again, I know they played UAB and USF, nothing to write home about. They got a much tougher matchup here. But, you know, I just think it's possible that these guys definitely hit value. So I like this one quite a bit. I think Temple has some sneaky upside, and those are my two pay down options. So that's kind of where I'm at this week on the Friday slate. I will be back later breaking down the Saturday slate for DraftKings. Once again, thank you for tuning in. Please hit that subscribe button if you haven't already. Please hit that thumbs up, share with your friends, drop some comments if you hate the content, if you love it, and good luck. Happy Thanksgiving, everyone. Let's win some cash.